Did you know that you can live a life that's even better than the highest rank your company has to offer? My name is Emily Gibson. I'm a master network marketer and a certified life coach. There is more beyond the rank. And if you're willing to go with me, I can show you how. Let's go. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I have a special guest for us today. This is Jen Dillard, and you're never going to believe the way we met. It's kind of crazy. We were having a little conversation before I hit record, and then we were both like, wait, this is too good. We can't not be recording right now. But I was on, this was one of my very, very first trips that we had done when I was building my network marketing business. We had done a top earner trip for everyone in our downline to Kauai. And we had five girls earn it. And of those five women, each woman had 100 people ordering on their team. And that's why they got to come. And they had to pay for their own airfare to come over. But once they were there, we covered the cost of everything, food, car, accommodations. And then we did like pedicures and happened to be a zip line experience. And because our group had seven people in it and the zip line could have, I don't know, whatever it was, 10, yeah. Jen happened to be partnered with us. And we just sort of had like this moment of like, I like you.
Do
you
like an instant connection?
Yeah. And it was like, we were just friends. Like, yeah, because I feel like we had similar like sorority something. Like, were you in Alpha Phi? Was that?
No, I know it wasn't that.
What was it? And that wasn't the sorority that I was in college, but I felt like it was something like that. But what was it? There was like, we just started talking and it was.
I don't know. I think we just totally hit it off. Just our personalities, and we were just having so much fun, and we exchanged information, and we have like cheered each other on and supported each other for the last like 7 years.
So. Yeah, it's awesome. So crazy how it like just happened in that way, and we stayed in touch. So, and things did not like play out the way that I thought they were going to play out, or that you did, or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I just genuinely love how your attitude is towards business and making money, and how you hold yourself as a woman. And I love to surround myself with women like that. So
right back at you, sis.
I'm just always drawn to you because of that. So, okay. So you are crushing it in real estate. And my favorite thing about following you on social media is there is just this energy about you that's like, let's make as much money as possible in the classiest way.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, I mean, I have so much fun.
Yeah.
And I genuinely enjoy what I do and enjoy the people that I work with and surround myself with. And it's just like, there's nothing to be, I mean, of course there are things to be pessimistic about or to be frustrated with, but I really try to stay in that abundance mindset. And I think when you live in that abundance mindset, then it comes your way, you know, just naturally. So
now, as a really strong and confident woman, I think people would assume that it's easy for you to get outside of your comfort zone. But one of the posts that I remember you making was you had moved to a new city and you were all alone, and you challenged yourself to start going, or was it creating networking events? Did you start attending them? Did you just make them up?
Yeah.
You just like created a networking event to expand your network. And I remember just being like, oh, she is my person, because I don't wait around for people to come find me either. I am very much like, if I want it, I'm going to go create it for myself. So tell people how, even as a confident woman, how like that wasn't easy for you. I remember you saying it wasn't easy.
No. So what happened was, we had been living in the Seattle area, my husband and I and our two kiddos, and our kids were really young, and we decided to move to Hood River, Oregon, which is where we are now. And I moved here and I didn't know anybody. I mean, it was I am such a people person, and I love to surround myself with people, and I need that in order to like feel fulfilled, is to have that social aspect. And I didn't have it. I didn't have any friends. My kids made friends at school. My husband was busy with work.
Wait. How many kids do you have and what are their ages?
I have two kids. They're 8 and 9. Yes. They're amazing.
And how long have you been married?
We've been married for 10 and a half years.
And how long have you been a realtor?
So I got my license in 2007 and then did real estate for a little while and then had a pretty long break. I took a pretty long pause, had babies, did some other, you know, ventures, and then decided to get back into it after I had my daughter, Henley. So in 2015, I got back into real estate and have been doing it since.
So, hey, keep going what you were saying. Okay.
So we moved to this area. I didn't know anybody. I was so lonely. I was so depressed and I just wasn't myself. And, you know, and literally I was laying in bed, just like crying and feeling sorry for myself. And it just hit me. This light bulb went off and I was like, oh my gosh, Travis, we're going to throw a holiday party. And the man looked at me like I had lost my mind. He's like, we have no friends. How in the world are we going to throw a holiday party? Like, are you insane? But we did. So he's like, it's all on you, but I support you. So we hired a caterer, a bartender. I was like, we're going to have a party of all parties. So we did. And it was kind of like an episode of Seinfeld. Like people were like, oh, how do you know Jen? And people were like, who's Jen? I'm here for the charcuterie board. Like, what?
Okay. I have so many questions right now.
It was so awkward, but it was where I met my first clients, my first friends, I grew that. That's where my confidence started going, oh my gosh, if I want to grow my business and build relationships here, all I have to do is just be myself and pour into the community. And so that was it. It was like, now it's game time. I'm going to have events, and events are our thing. We're community focused real estate group.
So. Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm always telling everyone is events. There are some people in the network marketing space that say events are dead. And I'm like, fire that coach immediately because anyone in sales knows that a live event is going to convert sales higher than anything else you could ever do.
Well, anytime you could be belly to belly with someone, your chances of, you know, making this a sale is so much higher. And it's not just about that. It's building the relationship.
Yeah.
People work with people they know, like, and trust.
100%.
What a better way to build that than to.
Okay. So I want to go back to these
questions. I can see it.
I am just like,
I'm ready.
Oh, I want to go back to the moment where you're lying in bed and you're feeling depressed and you have no friends and you're like, I'm going to throw a holiday party, right? One of the things that I teach is our thoughts create our results. And when you're feeling really depressed and you're thinking, like, I have no friends, but I'm going to do this holiday party, there's this looming fear, I would assume, in the back of your mind. If I'm wrong, tell me. But I know this would be a fear that many of our listeners here tell me all the time when I say plan an in-person event. There's this looming fear of, but what if no one comes? Did you have that fear?
I did have that fear.
How did you combat that?
So, you know, it's worse than nobody showing up.
What?
Person showing up. Like, nobody, it's like, cool, call it off, pretend like it didn't happen, but like one person.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying. It's so cool.
My biggest fear.
I have done events where only one person shows up and it is so awkward because you're just sitting there looking at each other and you're like, my eye is twitching just thinking about it. Did you see my eye start twitching? My eye literally just started twitching. You can see it. If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you'll see my eye started twitching when we started talking about it because the flashbacks from the time when one person showed up and I was like, hi, so tell me why did you come tonight?
Yeah,
obviously, with all eyes on you, would you like a sample?
Only people that have done that have like can feel that and understand how awkward that is. But I did have that fear, Emily, and it's like I think that the fear of not meeting anybody and being in the same position that I was in and being under those covers with mascara running down my cheeks was worse than, you know, than putting myself out there and the risk of somebody not coming or one person coming.
100%. It's like the risk of staying the same is what got you taking action.
If you want different, you know, if you want things to change and you want something different, you have to do something different. So,
well, I think that the definition that I try to follow with this is different. Wait, better than right now is different than right now.
Mm-hmm.
And different is not always better, which is the flip side of the coin, right? But different is not always better, but better is always different.
Yes.
And so I think that, like, if you go back to that, how long did it take you to plan the party from when you were laying in bed till the execution of the night of
it
the
was just like, board? It was like a few weeks. Like, it was game time. I mean, I walked up and down the streets. We live in a small town, and I walked up and down the streets. And
this
I
was my next question.
Invite complete strangers. Like, oh, you have kids? I have kids. Do you want to come to my holiday party?
Oh, did you have flyers? Like, were you doing flyers? Were you like, what were you doing?
No flyers. It was just like walking up to complete strangers, talking to owners of the local businesses, you know, people at the coffee shop, just finding ways that I could relate. Like, you have kids, your kids look about my kids' age. You know, we just moved to town. Would you want to come to our holiday party? And
what day of the week and what time did you do it? Just out of curiosity.
Saturday. And I want to say it was like at 6 p.m. And we had a babysitter that, you know, was downstairs. So the kids all came as a fairy family. And we still have this party, but it's now not complete strangers.
They're all your friends.
Yes.
Now, when you are like, there are going to be listeners here that are not extroverted. And what you have just described, like literally walking through the neighborhood, smiling at strangers, inviting them to the party, like risking rejection face to face. Like, what were you telling yourself? I know that you have had this like mentality of like, if I want it to change, I have to go out and do something. Like the only thing that's more scary is to stay the same. But for someone that is really introverted and this is like terrifying them, like they're like literally sweating right now, just imagining this idea of approaching someone on the street. What would you say to them? Like, what in your mind were you telling yourself as you're walking up? Were you just like, Jen, you're awesome. Jen, go Jen. Like, what were you telling yourself in your mind?
I was telling myself that this isn't about me. This is actually about my family and giving this a shot. Because if I knew that if I didn't make friends and find my community, my tribe, that I was going to be miserable. And then I was going to be make everything miserable for everyone else. So it was so important to me that I figured out how to make myself happy so that I could be that, you know, be a great mom, be a great wife, like be there for everybody else. And my kids needed friends too. You know, they were making friends at school, but I wanted them to have that community too. And so I was like, I'm going to just do what it takes to build it. And it was not easy. It was hard. And it was, you know, like, and moving to a new area is not easy. And there's a lot, you know, like I didn't hit it off with everybody right off the bat. Let's just say that I was the new girl in town. So it was definitely challenging, and it took time to just feel like I found my place.
How did you handle those vibes? Because as women, we can be the most loving and inviting people on earth, but at the same time, we can also be the clickiest and exclusive, where we don't want anyone new to come in that feels threatening or doesn't even feel threatening. Like for women that aren't threatening to other women, sometimes they are not even welcomed in. So how did you sort of like be your own best friend in that moment to sort of nurture yourself and stand up to that? I mean, not that you were like standing up being like, you guys are, you know, mean girls. I want to speak to you and there's no room at your table or whatever. Like, not saying that it was even that intense, but I think we can
it was that intense. And it was a lot of clicky catty, like mean girl kind of act, you know, activity. And I at first I cried a lot and I just like was like, this is terrible. I want to move. I don't feel like people don't like me. And I don't, you know, nobody likes that feeling of not being liked. And then I got thicker skin and I realized that it wasn't about me again. Like this was not me because I knew that because they didn't know me. If they had had an opportunity to meet me and then decided they didn't like me, that would be one thing. Mm-hmm. But these people did not know me. And so I knew that that must be something that they were going through and that's their own issue. So I did that, but then I also made my own table.
See, so I think this is the power tip. Like as you're talking, I'm like, this is the power tip right here. Power tip number one is know yourself better first. Because It wasn't necessarily because you were like, oh, I'm as good as them. It wasn't about anything external outside of you. You had done the work to know yourself first so that when there was that rejection, when there was that cattiness, you were able to be there for yourself and be like, okay, we know us though, and nothing is going to shake us from that knowledge. And this is a good to know moment. Right? Like we get to see their true colors and thank you, God, for showing us this side of this person. Not that we're just going to like shut people out. Cause sometimes people don't know us their best true colors because they're feeling insecure. Yeah. They have their issues too.
Generally,
right? Some of the people that I thought were the most catty, clicky women ended up becoming some of my best friends because it just turned out they were feeling as insecure as I was in that moment.
Yes. Yeah.
So
it's usually something someone else is going through. So you have to have empathy for them and just, you know that. And, but you know, I think that I did feel that rejection and that like, I didn't have a seat at the table. So I built my own table and I have a team and we are each other's biggest supporters and we have so much fun. And I drowned out all that, you know, all that noise and all those, that negativity and just like built that room where it was like safe and we could be ourselves and we could be optimistic and just, and it was just, that was really what happened. It just felt like I organically grew this team.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a team. It can be a group of friends. It can be, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
that's what happened for me.
I know that there are people listening here that are like, gosh, where do I even start to get to know myself on this type of level? And we didn't even like plan this, you guys. Like, I'm just like, this is the conversation that God is literally inspiring right now between us. And if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you're going to look at Jen and you're going to be like, I don't even believe that a woman that is this confident, that looks like this, could ever feel outcast and insecure. Like, and I hope that I have chills from head to toe. Like, I hope that you will see that it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how confident you are. This is normal to feel this way when you are new somewhere, when you're putting yourself outside of your comfort zone, when you're building a business, when you are a mom that has teenagers for the first time or school-age kids versus toddlers. We're constantly getting outside of our comfort zone, reinventing ourselves. And this is what comes with that package. So I know this is going to be really inspiring for everyone to see you being so honest and vulnerable about what you've gone through. But what advice would you give to a woman that is like, how do I even get to know myself on this level where I can have my own back?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I've done a lot of work, like you said, of, you know, reading and listening to podcasts and like just finding things that resonate with me. And what resonated with me wasn't what resonated with everybody else. There were certain books that people recommended that I would start reading a few pages and be like, that's not me. Close it and move on. Don't feel like you have to finish a book just because everybody else said it was great. I think you really have to find your voice and find what excites you and makes you feel confident. So for me, I think that just realizing that I'm in real estate and I do a lot of social media, but doing the video at first was like very scary and putting myself out there. I hated the way I sounded. I hated the way I looked. I was like, oh my gosh, I sound stupid. Nobody's going to, all of the things, but I just had to start and I just had to put myself out there and start pushing out the content. And now I don't watch my videos because I know I'm my biggest critic. And I know that as long as I'm providing value and I'm confident in what I'm saying, then that's what matters. And that's what people are looking for is they want the tips and the tricks and the value. So, I think that I really just had to like trust myself that I'm confident in what I'm sharing and in myself and then just put it out there.
Well, and that just goes back to what you were saying before, which would be like the other power tip, right? Is that you realized it's not about you.
It's not about you.
And that's arrows out.
I have to tell myself that when I speak too, because I go out and I speak on these big stages and I get so nervous and I'm so like, what if I trip? What if I fall? And then I have to go back and go, it's not about you. Are you providing value? Are you sharing something that's going to help others? And like, do you feel like it's you nailed the presentation in a way that's going to be tactical and helpful and inspiring? And if the answer is yes, that's all that matters. Who cares if you trip, if your Spanx are showing by accident, whatever. Like,
yes, yes.
I'm human, I'm real.
Yes. Oh, you're so inspiring. Like, this is incredible to listen to such a powerhouse of a woman that is this vulnerable right now. Like, you are adding so much value to our listeners, and I am just in love with this. So, let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges being such an ambitious businesswoman, being such a heart-centered mom, literally going and knocking on doors and going up to strangers so that you can be a better version of yourself and provide the community for your kids. You know, like, that's a heart-centered mom that is not only out for her business, but like, she's doing it so her family can be happy in this new city. And when you are that ambitious, I joke with my mom, I've said this before, where I'm like, what would it be like to not have ambition? I have no idea. I don't even know, because that is just so part of my nature, just like you. But with that also comes this balancing act. And I will always preach that there is no balance in business. I have a solid core belief that you actually have to go off balance to move forward. So when you notice you're off balance, because I'm just going to assume we agree on this because you're such a powerhouse, but like, when you have to go off balance, when you have 5 listings in a month, or when you have 3 closings in 1 week and things are off balance to move forward in your business, what do you do in your home life with your marriage and with your kids to offset that balance, that imbalance?
I think it's just having very strict boundaries around your, like, around what matters. So we have a date night every Wednesday night. It doesn't, like, we don't miss it. It's Wednesday night, rain or shine. That's when it is. And then, you know, we call them like no cell phone zones and no cell phone hours, which is like, when we get home from work, it's where we want to be, where our feet are. We're like very present with our kids and with each other and have conversations and turn off all the screens and just like focus. And I think that just putting guardrails around that, and I have a lot of clients, and I prepare them right away. Like, these are the times that I'm unavailable.
Oh, I love that.
And that's it. And if it's not okay with you, there's probably another agent that would be willing to do that, but it's not me.
This is so good. Because my first thought was, when you said you had those hours, is I'm thinking about when I was growing up with my dad, who's super successful realtor. Yeah. I mean, the phone was always there. It was different back then, right? And I also think that, as much as I don't want to say this out loud, there are different rules for women than there are for men, and different rules that we give ourselves, different rules that society believes, different rules that men give themselves. Like, have you ever heard your husband say, I feel so guilty for working this week?
Mine, yes.
Yours, really?
Yes.
He gets
like guilty. He feels guilty when he's working too much.
Yeah. See, one of the things that I have noticed so many times, me and my husband was a physical therapist before he still is. He still keeps his certificate up, but fortunately he just gets to be home with us and we get to have a life because of the businesses that we have. And one of the things that I just always remember is everyone cheered him on when he was working 6 days a week, 3 different jobs. I mean, it was like this saint position. Like, he was going to go straight to heaven. Yeah. And everyone was just so proud of him, and what an amazing, and he is amazing. He is all those things. But the second, still to this day, I have been an entrepreneur and owned multiple 7-figure businesses at this point. Yep. Still to this day, I have family members that will go unnamed that say things to me, be so careful. You're working a lot. Mm-hmm. And no one ever said that to my husband.
Nobody ever said that. No, nobody ever said that to my husband.
Nobody ever says it.
But I hear it all the time. Like, you're traveling too much for work. You're working too much. You're, Yeah. I mean, and sometimes
so it's just something that's there.
Sometimes I am. Like sometimes I feel that.
But what's too much, right? It's when you feel that burnout feeling, when you start to feel like it's those five key relationships: God, self, husband, kids, extended family, in that order. Yeah. And if you do not pay into those five key relationships and you are focusing more on business and anything else, right? Like that's when I start to feel yucky and depleted and burned out. And I just think that it's normal to feel every emotion. And whenever I feel those burnout feelings, I'm like, oh, we need a new system. This is not really working.
Yes.
And we're going to make a change because I cannot live this way.
So then you just reset. You have to slow down in order to, it's like a bow and arrow. Like you have to pull back, but once you let go and you're ready to like watch out world, because then you're going to be able to go and lunge forward because you're going to have had that time to reset and pull back.
So I love that. It's
so important.
I love that. I love that analogy, especially because you immediately said reset. You didn't say take the foot off the gas.
No.
You didn't say stop the business, question yourself, question if you should be working. It was like the reset, the realization that you're in that moment and the reset, and that analogy of pulling back to then.
Yes.
And you have to, so true.
You have to take that time. You have to slow down to then like, you know, go through what's working and what isn't, because if you don't take the time to slow down, to look at those, you'll all of a sudden, everything's going to be like on fire and you'll feel that feeling of burnout. So it's important to, before it happens, before you feel the burnout, to pull back and just to like check in on your relationships with your family and with your kids and with yourself and with God. And like, just make sure that you are feeling like you're connecting in all those ways. And if you are, great, let's keep going.
Well, and don't you think too, that when you do find yourself in burnout, like let's say you don't recognize it, you're just in it. I think to give yourself grace to not beat yourself up for it. Burnout is, we look at burnout like it's some awful thing that we've done that's so bad, like morally wrong. And I'm like, no. Burnout is an emotion. Emotions, God gave us our feelings as like a GPS navigation system of like, go this way. Don't go, no, don't go that way. Go this way. And so it's just like an internal check
process.
Yes. So powerful. Okay. So tell me now, I want to move the conversation a little bit to your past self, to your future self, because one thing that I'm always saying is if you want to make more money and you want to be more successful, you have to think about money differently. So I can look at times in my life, and I'm sure you're thinking of times right now as I'm saying this, where I thought about money differently and I made far less when I was thinking those things. So I know I'm putting you kind of on the spot here, but can you remember something you used to think about money and something that you think now that's different that has created that rise in your net worth?
You know, I think that for me, I always felt like I had to do everything and in order to make more money. And I mean that by, I felt like my business would be more profitable if I was doing it all. And I wasn't having somebody help me with any of it, because
like you could do it better than everyone else. Is that what you mean?
But also just like, if I wasn't paying someone else to do any of the work and I was doing it, then I was keeping more money in the business. But what I've learned is that when I do that, I'm not focusing on the things that I am the best at. And I'm doing the things that I don't enjoy, which is actually bringing me down. And so since then, I've hired people to buy back my time. So I'm hiring people that are doing the tasks that they're really good at that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, I'm able to focus on the things that I do best. Like I am a visionary and I love to create and build and develop and things like that. And so that's my core genius and where I really shine. The paperwork and the, you know, like the organization and the calendaring, not for me. That's not for me.
Same.
Now that I'm not doing that, I'm making a lot more money because I'm freeing myself up to focus on the things that are the money makers that actually can push us forward.
Well, and as you were saying that, I just had like this big light bulb explosion in my mind too, because when you, I used to be the same, hold on to as much money as I possibly can. But guess what that creates? You keep that same amount of money forever. Mm-hmm. But money is energy. Yeah. And money is in constant motion. I like to call money as a boomerang. Whatever I send out, it always brings back way more with way more energy. And so if we think of holding on to something, that's where energy is stopped. And so when people have this belief around holding on to money, keeping it safe, not spending it, saving it always. Like, yes, of course, I believe that you need to save your money and you need to like invest in things. But I save money in real estate. I save money inside of things that make it grow because I exactly. don't want money to sit and be stagnant. I don't want to hold on to money. That doesn't mean that I have a nervous energy with money where every time I get it, I spend it. But it's this idea, like you were saying, that if I just sit and I hold on to it, it's all like, Even the body movements that you did when you explained it, you crouched over and you cupped your hands. And that is, as like a trauma coach, that is yeah. one of the indicators that I can see if my client is going into freeze, a trauma response. Yeah. And mm-hmm. freeze is so, do you want your money frozen ever?
No.
That's
growing.
If a money were to, if a bank were to freeze your money, if something were, that would be awful.
Yeah.
And so when you really start like this connection of seeing money as energy and you can loosen the white knuckle grip on it, and mm-hmm. it's not something you have to be careful with that you can mess up with. It's yeah. something that you can play with and energetically exchange with and create value with. Like, right. it's just so much more empowering than holding on to it. That's so disempowering.
Yes. I so agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So good. So fun. Oh, so good. I love this. Okay. Where can everybody find you? They need to get in touch with you. If you are wanting to be connected to a powerful woman that is confident and vulnerable enough to share her insecurities, you need to go find Jen. Tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is at Jen Dillard, JenDillard.
And we will put that in the show notes for everyone. Go and follow her because you are just going to have your life enriched. I'm telling you, following Jen is inspiring every single day. There's never a time where I go to your page and I'm not uplifted, which is hard to find on social media. So I just
feel the same way, friend.
Oh, I love the value that you brought today. Thank you so much. And
thank you for having me.
Okay. And we'll have to do this again sometime because this was such an amazing conversation.
Yeah, we've got so much more we could cover.
Okay, everybody. Have an amazing day. Bye now. Who is your life coach? If you don't have one, I would be so honored to be your coach. I've created a virtual program called Beyond the Rank that I want to invite you to join me in. We can address challenges, we can work on goals, and we can do it in so many different ways. We have group coaching, individual private coaching, and hundreds of hours of online courses and content that I'm creating just for you. When you're ready to take what you're learning on the podcast to the 10X level, then come check out Beyond the Rank at emilygibsoncoaching.com.